Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us. I hope you've been with us for the last week and a half. We've been talking about facing the future. Derek's been teaching in that amazing, balanced, biblical way that he has. And we've been learning about how to face the future, what attitudes we ought to have, the confidence we ought to have. You know, it strikes me that today is December the 7th. And of course, I hope that all of us remember that this is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And I remember that the very next day, our president at the time, President Roosevelt, said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Well, that is certainly true of the people of God today. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. It's our own attitudes. It's the enemies of our own souls that eat away at our inner life, our faith, our confidence, our complete focus on Jesus that is our greatest enemy. And Derek's going to be talking to us today about very much those same themes. He's talking about the bride preparing herself, the bride of Christ preparing herself without spot and wrinkle for her coming Lord. And of course, a lot of the way that happens is by living through this present age in righteousness and allowing hardship to shape us. Well, let's get to it because Derek has so much to teach us today, and this has really been and will continue to be for a number of more days a fascinating series of truths that need to be embedded in our souls so that we can live differently in this generation. Let's listen.
For the rest of this week, I'm going to speak about the two main objectives which God has in view as he brings about the restoration of the church. I believe these divine objectives for the church can be summed up in two words: unity and outreach. Today we'll focus on God's purpose to restore unity to the church, or to bring the church into unity. We'll turn first of all to the great high priestly prayer of Jesus, recorded in John chapter 17. At the close of this chapter, Jesus goes to his arrest and to his trial. He's separated from his disciples and not restored to them until after his death and burial and resurrection. So in a sense, these are really the last words that the disciples heard from their Lord before he was separated from them, and I believe they're words of special significance. They are the prayer of Jesus to the Father on behalf of his disciples, his believing people. In the first part of the prayer, he's praying for the disciples who are then with him. But in the closing part of the prayer, he launches out into a prayer for all future believers of all ages, all races, all denominations, all backgrounds. And this glorious close to the prayer indicates the deepest longing and the purpose of Jesus for his church, his people. I'm going to read John 17, verses 20 through 23. "My prayer is not for them alone," that's the disciples who were then present with him. "I pray also for those who will believe on me through their message." I understand that to be all true believers of all subsequent ages, because ultimately, if you analyze how believers come to faith, it's always through the message of the apostles. That's the message that's recorded in the New Testament, and that is the only real basis for the faith of all believers. So Jesus is praying for all believers, and he said, "I pray for those who will believe on me through their message, that all of them may be one." That's all believers. "All of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." Jesus speaks about the relationship that's to exist between all true believers, and he compares it to the same relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. "Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." Notice again, God's standards never come down. He never comes down to a lower standard than that which is worthy of God himself. His standard of unity is the standard of the Godhead. The unity that exists between the Father and the Son is the unity that Jesus prays for in the church. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. See, Jesus not only focuses on his own believing people, but as always, he has a deep compassion and concern for the world that doesn't yet know him. And he sees and explains to us that the ultimate testimony, the only testimony that can reach the whole world, is the visible unity of his believing people. He says that the world may believe and that the world may know that God sent Jesus to be the Savior. And we have to be realistic. It's not just some mystical unity in another realm. It must be the kind of unity that this unbelieving world can apprehend with its senses. It must be a visible, demonstrated unity. That's the only kind of unity that could convince the world. And that's the kind of unity for which Jesus prayed to the Father. And my conviction is that the Lord Jesus never prayed a prayer that the Father will not answer. I believe God is going to answer that prayer of Jesus for the visible unity of the church, a unity that's of the same type as the unity that exists within the Godhead between the Father and the Son. In examining how this kind of unity that I've been speaking about can be brought about, I want to turn now to a very beautiful picture from the Old Testament, a symbolic picture of the regathering of God's scattered people into a unity. It's found in the prophet Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter, in the opening part of the chapter. It's a vision that God gave to Ezekiel. It's usually known as the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones.
You know, when we're confronted with such powerful truths, we often want to embed them even more deeply in our life, and we've got a special resource we want you to have. It's a booklet from the pen of Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. You need to get it. To do so, just call 1-800-448-3261, or you can log on to the website at derekprince.org. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're in a series called Facing the Future, in which Derek is teaching us powerful truths about the unity of the church and the preparation of the bride for the coming of Jesus. You know, I've worked in the Muslim world a great deal, and the greatest accusation they have against Christianity is they say that it cannot be true because there are so many divisions and denominations. How can one body of truth produce so much division? Truly, we need to walk in a greater unity if we're going to win the world. Now, let's listen as Derek continues this amazing teaching called Facing the Future.
The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. This is how Ezekiel records the vision. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And this was a revelation of God's people, lifeless, scattered, separated. God asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." What a beautiful picture of God's purpose to regather his scattered people at the close of this age. Apparently a totally hopeless task. As Ezekiel walked up and down amongst those dry bones, he must have said, "Surely this is beyond help." And sometimes we could feel the same about the condition of the church, that it's beyond help. It's divided, it's scattered, it's weak, it's ineffective. But God's purpose stands. God gave Ezekiel the ministry that brought restoration and reunification to the people of God. I believe that prophesying to the bones represents preaching, but prophesying to the breath represents prayer and intercession. And I want to suggest to you that both are desperately needed. The preaching of the word that will bring life and unity back to God's people, and the kind of prayer and intercession that will bring the Holy Spirit back in his fullness into the body of Christ and raise up what used to be scattered, separated, lifeless bones into a vast army. I love that phrase. In the Hebrew language, it's very, very emphatic. A very, very great army. This translation says a vast army. There again, we need to see the objective. God's objective here is not portrayed as a bride, but as an army. An army to do battle. An army to assail the strongholds of Satan. To go out and cast down the strongholds of Satan, drive back his wicked forces, and usher in the revelation of the glory of God to the whole earth. We'll turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, which speaks about the main ministries that Christ has set in his church and the purpose for which those ministries are set there. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. "And he," that is the resurrected, ascended Christ, "gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." There's five main ministries: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now we're told the purposes for which these ministries are set by Christ in the church. Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Again, we see the necessity of having a vision. The vision of the completed, mature, properly functioning body is stated there by Paul in verse 16. It's the end to which everything that God is doing in the church is directed. Now let's go back and pick out some of the salient features of that tremendously important revelation of God's program to bring the church into unity. Let me make certain practical and important points. First of all, when God wants to do something, he begins by finding men to do it. And so Jesus begins his program in the church by giving men to the church in these various ministries. You see, God works through leaders. And where there are no leaders to work through, the purposes of God are frustrated. Now, as we look at these ministries that I mentioned here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, certain specific functions for them are stated.
I hope you're enjoying this teaching as much as I am, and I want to tell you right here that next week I'm going to have two special guests here in the studio with me. One is a legendary Christian guitarist by the name of Phil Kagi. I think many of you will know his name. Really a father to a great deal that is Christian music today. A man deeply impacted by Derek Prince's ministry back in the early 70s. And I think you're going to find his insights profound on the course of music and the connection between lyrics of music and preaching. And then the other gentleman who's going to be joining us is a dear friend of mine by the name of Ben Pearson. Ben is an award-winning videographer, filmmaker, documentary producer. You may not know his name, but you've seen his album covers, you've seen his music videos, you will probably in the near future see his documentaries and his films. These men will talk about Derek's impact on their lives and also talk about their art and how their art is fed by the preaching and ministry of the Word. Listen, there's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
As chaos spreads around the world, one thing is clear. Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, is increasingly the focal point of controversy, uncertainty, and strife on earth. Each day, a wave of anti-Semitism sweeps many parts of the world. You need to know what all this means, and more importantly, what you should do to be prepared. These are some of the reasons Derek Prince Ministries has released a new booklet by Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. This powerful little book explains how we should live in these last days. That is why we want you to have a copy free and postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your free copy of Surviving the Last Days, 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Prepare for the days ahead. 800-448-3261. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I hope you've been with us all of today and in the previous week and a half as we're talking about Facing the Future, a transforming teaching by Derek Prince on the future, the church, the preparation of the bride for the coming of Jesus. Derek's just been talking to us about the dry bones of the church and in our generation and how we need to speak life. And of course, the importance of the Ephesians 4 ministries in the church. Powerful stuff. Let's listen as Derek teaches us further about Facing the Future.
Now, as we look at these ministries that are mentioned here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, certain specific functions for them are stated. First of all, it isn't God's purpose that the, quote, full-time ministers shall do it all. That's a misunderstanding which has crept into some churches. But it's God's purpose that those ministers shall equip the rest of the believers to do their work. The second is to build up the body of Christ. These ministries must have this vision of the completed body. All their labors and efforts must be directed to producing this body, which is the ultimate vision and purpose of God. The third purpose, which is the one most closely connected with what I'm speaking about today, is to bring us into the unity of the faith. Paul actually uses the words, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. He's speaking about the unity of the faith as an objective to which we must come, and it's dependent on these ministries functioning correctly in the church. The fourth purpose for these ministries is to bring us to maturity and completeness. A complete body, every part there, every part doing its job. A mature body, not the body of a small boy or a young person, but a mature, full-grown body. Let me just briefly recapitulate the functions of those ministries. First, to equip the saints for their service. Second, to build up the body of Christ. Third, to bring us into the unity of the faith through the acknowledging of the Son of God. And fourth, to bring us to maturity and completeness. Now I want to speak about our response to these ministries. If we reject these ministries, if we are self-willed and stubborn, go our own way and do not submit to spiritual authority that God has set in the church, the result is stated by Paul in the 14th verse of Ephesians 4. As a result, he says, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, in deceitful scheming. The implication is clear. If we do not come under these ministries and submit to their authority and obey their direction, we will continue to be spiritually retarded infants. We will be old in years, but very young spiritually. We'll be subject to every form of deception, every kind of new doctrine that comes along. We'll be carried hither and thither by it. We'll never attain to stability or maturity or real responsibility. That's the penalty of refusing the ministries that God sets in the church. On the other hand, if we submit to these ministries, then the result will be love and right relationships and growth to fulfillment. Paul sketches out the pathway to this goal in verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects to Him. We have to get in right relationship to the ministries, to the authority that Jesus sets in His church. And being in right relationship to those ministries will bring us into right relationship with our fellow believers. We'll be speaking the truth in love. And as we speak the truth in love under discipline and authority, we grow up. We cease to be spiritually retarded infants. And we grow up into Christ. He's always the ultimate. He's always the objective. And we become members of that whole body, which is fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, in which every individual part is doing its proper job, and which as a result the body grows naturally out of its own inner resources and life. It says that this relationship established between the members promotes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God has a vision. God has a plan. God has a program. First of all, we have to hear the prayer of Jesus. Then we have to commit ourselves to the purpose of Jesus. Then we have to submit ourselves to the authority, to the ministry that Jesus sets in His church. And then we have to come into right relationship with our fellow believers and become part of that total functioning body, which is the objective of God.
You know, Derek is touching on some themes here that we seem to be moving away from in our modern culture. One of the things that deeply concerns me about what I see in the church today is an abandoning of that scripture that says, do not forsake the assemblings of yourself together. So many people in the church today, so many Christians are saying church isn't important. We'll just meet at Starbucks and sort of talk about the scriptures. But, you know, Derek's teaching us some truths we need to hang on to. First of all, it's the preaching of the word that will bring life and unity back to God's people. Clearly, when God wanted to give unity, when God wanted to call His people together and mature them, He gave them the Ephesians 4 ministry, the fivefold ministry of the church. And these are essential. And many Christians today are not sitting under those ministries, are not being impacted by those leaders. And as a result, they're not trained, they're not maturing, they're not receiving the word in the deep level of their lives that they need to. Second of all, it says that when God wants to do something, this is what Derek said, He begins by finding men to do it. He raises up leaders and He works through leaders. And Derek said, where there are no leaders to work through, the purposes of God are frustrated. How many times in your life has a critical juncture come when an anointed leader spoke into your life, dealt with you, confronted you, turned you in the direction you needed to go? You know, the biblical word for equip means to reset a bone. It means that something is pointing off in the wrong direction and you're hobbling along and a leader comes along and is able to equip you. Well, I realize that many in today's generation are sort of disappointed and disillusioned with leaders, particularly Christian and spiritual leaders, but we cannot allow that to drive us away from the assembling of ourselves together where we receive from those who are gifted in the body of Christ. And then finally, the ministries that impact our lives, the ministry of the church, the fivefold ministry, and the body of Christ as a whole, has to have a vision for the completed body. This really is the message, especially the young today are missing, and that is that when we are born again, we are born into a spiritual family. We are born into a body, and it is meant to come together in completion. That's where the anointing is. That's where the power is, and I would suggest that's where our culture is waiting for the unified church of Jesus Christ to do its thing, to do what it's supposed to do. It's amazing to me how many times people outside of the church are impressed when just two different denominations get together and, you know, clean up a street or run a soup kitchen. They're astonished when Christians can actually get along together. Well, how much more the winning of the whole world when the body of Christ comes together. Listen, we want to make sure that you have a booklet that comes from the pen of Derek Prince. It's called Surviving the Last Days. You can get that, and we're delighted to give it to you. 1-800-448-3261 or log on to the website at DerekPrince.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow, the last day in this series, as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to get your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, Surviving the Last Days. It's yours free and postage paid when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to order your copy of Derek's book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.